One thing that us Almond girls love to do at Christmas when we're driving around is to look at all the lights in people's houses. It's become more and more popular, hasn't it? How many here have got lights outside the house? Well, a few of you. We normally do outside our house, but Adrian's not had a chance to put them up yet. I'm not allowed to. Please feel free to pressurise him to do this before Christmas, because we Almond girls feel quite sad about them not being up, and we are letting our cul-de-sac down as everyone else has their lights up. I can't have that. Can't be like that with the neighbourhood. Anyway, however, I don't think that in my travelling around, nosing at other people's Christmas lights, have I ever seen lights quite like this in someone's garden. Malcolm, can you play the video? So the light show that you've just seen is put together by a family called the Holdmans, who live, not surprisingly, in America. And for the past few years, thousands of people have driven by their home to observe this 15 to 20 minutes display. Wouldn't you like to have a display like that in your front garden? I would. But three main reasons that would make it this difficult for me, well, four if you include him, is number one, I don't have the money to buy the lights nor to pay for the electricity. Number two, I don't have the time or the knowledge to put them up. And number three, and probably the most important reason, is that my house just isn't wired up for it. Apparently, the Holdman family has an online tutorial where they describe some of the wiring they've used. They have 22 dedicated electricity sockets, which are solely used for the light display, and each socket was on a 20-amp breaker. I'm going to read this, but I'm not sure I know what I'm talking about. The maximum rating of a normal wall socket is 13 amps, but even as well wired as their home is, they still have a problem. The entire display requires 470 amps of power, but the maximum amount of electricity they can generate is 300 amps. Thus, If everything in their display were on at the same time, it would draw 470 ants. So they have to be careful what they turn on at any given time, because if they don't, they'll end up blowing their fuses or probably setting the house on fire. What the Holdmans have accomplished is a beautiful, well, I think it is a beautiful and wondrous thing. They literally light up the night. But my house isn't wired up for that. Over 2,000 years ago, a beautiful and wondrous thing took place. Jesus, the Son of God, was born. And when that happened, God lit up the night sky with thousands upon thousands of angels who announced to the shepherds that the Christ had been born. They gave this gift of light to the shepherds, physical light, but also spiritual light. Now, in our text this morning, we read that one of the reasons God lit up the night that evening was because this Jesus would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give him the throne of his father David, and he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom would never end. Jesus came to establish a kingdom, and every kingdom has citizens that belong to it. But what is this kingdom that Jesus came to establish, and who would be these subjects in this kingdom over which he would rule and reign? Well, Colossians tells us that the kingdom he was born to lead was the church. Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. This was the kingdom he came to rule and reign over. And the subjects of this kingdom? Well, that would be us. Colossians 1:13-14 says, God has rescued us from the dominions of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The kingdom was so important to God that through the angels, he lit up the night sky when Jesus was born. That was their gift on that first Christmas. And Luke 15 tells me that the heavens continued to light up again and again every time a person decides to join his kingdom. Jesus said, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over the one sinner who repents. Whenever a sinner repents, the angels rejoice and the heavens explode with light. I think that's a beautiful thought and a beautiful scene. God lights up the heavens when it comes to his kingdom. The question I want to ask this morning is this: are we wired up for that? Do we, like the angels, want to be lit up with the glory of the Lord, shining light into people's darkness? What I mean is this: this kingdom, this church, is so important to God that if I'm going to be prepared for Christmas, I need to get serious about my wiring. If I really want to show him I love him, I've got to put him in more than just a half-hearted effort into wiring my life for it. That night on the hillside, that vast host of angels were not the source of the light. They reflected God's light. And when we are wired up properly, we too reflect God's light. We are energized by it. Now, some of you may not put that many decorations up at Christmas, if any. Maybe a string of lights and a strand of tinsel. You don't need to be wired up for it because you don't put a great many lights up. It's not that you don't enjoy Christmas or you don't want to celebrate it. It's just that decorating your house is not that important. So you don't generally put a lot of effort into it. It's only if something is important to us that we care about how much effort we put into it. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And again, he says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What Jesus tells me is this: if I want to be his follower, it needs to be important to me. I need to be serious enough about it to rewire my life so that he shines brightly enough through me like he did the angels. So how do I do that? How do I prepare this Christmas with the wiring of my life? Well, when the people came to John the Baptist, they came knowing that he was there to prepare them for the coming of Christ. So they all asked the same question: what should we do? How do we need to rewire ourselves to be ready for the Lord? So he told the crowd, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He said, if they had two shirts, they should share with one who had none. Anyone who has food should do the same. To the tax collector, John said, don't cheat people. To the soldier, he says, don't misuse people. John's message to people was always the same. If you want to be prepared for the coming of Christ, then you need to begin considering others. If you have a need, if they have a need, meet it. If you can help them, help them. Don't hurt anybody. Don't misuse anybody. Rewire yourself to think of others even before yourself. That's how you can shine in the right way. Jesus summed this up in the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. Jesus drove this message home to his disciples when he called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, if you're going to be part of my kingdom, get used to the idea of rewiring yourself so you do for others, so that you put others before yourself, perhaps, so that you consider others. And that phrase is used in Philippians 2, where we're told, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus thought of you first. He thought of you first. Others. Therefore, he expects us to do the same. And the church here does what it can to give you the opportunity in a number of ways. But I guess significantly, when we think about all the work we've done in this hall over these past 2 weeks with the food and toy hampers, these things, giving gifts of food and toys to struggling families this Christmas in order to light up their lives. Interestingly enough, the United Kingdom territory strapline for the toy appeal is give a gift, light up a life. But this is just focusing on the Christmas season. These are the types of things we Christians should be doing all the year to set the tone for preparing for the coming of Christ. So in order to shine God's light, you and I need to rewire ourselves by thinking of others. But also we need to rewire ourselves by putting Jesus first. In Mark 10, we're told the story of a rich young man who came to Jesus and asked the same question. The crowds asked John the Baptist, what must I do? Mark tells us Jesus looked at the man and loved him. Here was a man who asked the right question, what must I do? Now Jesus knows a man's heart, so he sets up the conversation by reciting the Ten Commandments. But this incident is recorded in Mark and Matthew and Luke, and each tell the story tells us Jesus deliberately left out the last of the Ten Commandments, which is, you shall not covet. Now, why would Jesus leave that last commandment out? Did he just forget? No, Jesus left it off because this was the man's problem. The man loved his money. He loved his possessions. He loved being rich and he wanted more. And so Jesus turns to him and he gives him a command he's never going to give to anyone else. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you'll have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me. And you remember what the young man did? He turned away. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The man loved something more than he loved Jesus. And Jesus wasn't about to have a man follow him who loved something more than him. To paraphrase the writing of William Barclay, Jesus did not say, come, have a discussion with me. He said, follow me. We do not make terms with Christ, we surrender to him. We do not compromise with Christ, we submit to him. Christianity does not mean being interested in Christ Jesus. It means taking an oath that says, I'm completely and totally yours. So if you're going to be wired up correctly and shine out the glory of the Lord like the angels, you need to realize Jesus takes second place to nothing. And when we give him that first place, he shines from us. In order for us to live and shine for Jesus, Jesus must be our King, our Lord, our highest priority. And if you and I are not willing to put Jesus first, we won't be worthy of him, and we'll never be really wired up properly for his coming. So if we're going to be properly wired up for Christmas and shine for God, we need to think of the needs of others and how we can help, and we need to put Jesus first. But in order to do that, we must first belong to him. We need to be part of his kingdom and be wired up for salvation. That night on the hillside, when the shepherds saw the light and the glory of God, they were wired up for salvation. They accepted salvation, and when they did that, they were bathed in the Lord's overflowing light and glory, which overpowers the darkness. And because of that, they couldn't wait to share the light, the good news with others. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. At Advent, we too are invited, like the shepherds, into God's light, to know his salvation in our lives. So to what extent are you reflecting God's glory and light in the different areas of your life? What opportunities are there for you to be light for others and to point to his light? We are his representatives here on earth. We reflect his light. What aspects of Jesus' life do you look at and really desire to copy? Where would you start? How your life is wired makes a difference to God, because how you are wired will influence the message from your life. If you are wired for Jesus, you'll love others. You'll live your life for him, and you'll be wired. And if you're wired for Jesus, people will see his amazing grace in your life. His glory and his light will shine from you. Are you wired up for Jesus to shine up for him this Christmas, I wonder? When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I find the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. And when we get this right, that's when his glory and his light shines from us, and we can bring that gift of light to others. Is the reason you live to worship him? Are you wired up for him? We're not going to sing this. I just want there to be, in the busyness of this time, just some quietness now, where we can spend a moment or two reflecting on this just now as the music plays. Do people see the light of God shining in you? Do they? Whatever the answer may be, may our response be more light, please, God. More light, please. Let me shine more for you. Just spend a moment or two just reflecting. let us just sing these words together as we affirm, Lord, I want to worship you. I want that to be the reason for me living. I want to be wired up for you. I want your light to shine from me. Let us sing these words to reaffirm that just now. Thank you.
I look into your
Brilliant God, it's so easy to get caught up in the stuff of this world, and before we know it, we're wandering around in the deep, dull darkness. But Lord, we ask that we may be illuminated by your grace and love. We want to radiate and reflect the brilliance of your light. Shine through us so that we may share you with others and help others to transform their lives from darkness into light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so Advent is about us waiting to celebrate that light has come. As Christians, we anticipate the light will come again and will destroy the darkness completely. The King will come again, the Father's only Son. No more a world in darkness. The light will come. This Advent, let us celebrate the light and joyfully anticipate a world without darkness. Let's stand and sing this song together. May it be. There's cake after to celebrate him. Let's have a prayer together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.